SwingerCast is intended for mature audiences. If you're under 18, this show's not only not for you, but you're not even going to be able to get into the places we're talking about. For the rest of you, sit back and enjoy, and remember, this is just from our own personal experiences, and it should not be misconstrued as professional advice.
SwingerCast!
SwingerCast is about our
hot
times that we have and our
hot
love that we have. Some people claim that we say
hot
too much, but we don't care because we love our
hot
times.
Episode 101. I'm John.
And I'm Allie.
And you're listening to SwingerCast. This episode is really for beginners, or maybe a refresher course for some of you who...
Beginner what?
Beginner swingers. Newbies. People thinking about dipping their toe in or jumping into the deep end.
Mm-hmm.
Those people. And so what we thought we would do on this episode, since Allie and I have been in the lifestyle for over 10 years, is share some of our, well, some broad strokes. We can't possibly go over everything there is to the lifestyle in a short little podcast, but...
And over the years, questions that we have gotten.
So, Allie... What is swinging?
Well, swinging is a lot of things to different people. The swinging we're talking about on this show is couples. Couples having recreational sex with other couples.
Or others.
Or other singles, yes.
Sure.
Right, but we're focusing on the couples, and because that is the foundation of the lifestyle, pretty much. I mean, you can't have swinging without couples.
No.
So, I mean, pull out all the couples of a swinging club, and what do you have?
A single bar,
yeah.
So,
yeah, basically this is for couples that are interested in getting into the lifestyle or maybe just want to know more about it or considering it. And this is, like John said, a broad stroke. We're just going to talk about... what we've observed over the 10 plus years we've been getting naughty with these swingers.
Sure.
These swinger types. You wrote a great article several years ago about tips to getting started with
thank you very much.
Bullet points. And I think we should start the episode off with those points. Can you share your points in your article?
Yeah, and I'll share a link to the article in the show notes, but this was a couple of years ago. So basically, when you and I started this adventure, we didn't sit around the dining room table and discuss the rules and with, you know, like a bunch of endless conversations. We just jumped in and had fun. We're on the same page. We have a complete understanding of what we enjoy doing in the lifestyle. And that said, over the years, I've observed, I think, are some common sense facts that may be helpful to some of you getting started.
Are they in any particular order?
No. God, no.
No? Okay, tell us number one.
There's no right or wrong way to enter the lifestyle. There's just your way. Maybe you're the type of couple that needs to have numerous conversations before you dive in, or perhaps you want to start with full swap in different rooms. None of that is as important as communicating and being on the same page as your partner.
Yeah, I mean, we did discuss it. I mean, we were together for like 10 years, and we've always had the open communication and talking about things. But you're right, we never really sat around and discussed it over and over again. We just kind of like knew each other, and we're always kind of open with each other and discussing things, and we just, I mean... as they would come along. It was a gradual process for us, but when we were ready, we just like jumped in.
We did.
I didn't remember too much conversation prior to that.
I think we had laid our ground rules down. I mean, we knew that if we played with somebody, it was going to be a soft swap. I was not jealous of seeing you go down, and I don't feel like you hadn't felt that I was jealous in any way. So we were both on the same page.
But that was our way, you know? Although, you know, we discuss a lot about how we got into the lifestyle on the show. But that's our way. And it's not necessarily the way other people get it.
Right.
You know, and you should have your own way. I like that. And the most important part, you said, is being on the same page as your partner. And that might require a lot of talk before.
Right.
I mean, well, it definitely does. Communication. You make your own journey. You decide on your own journey. I mean, I know early on and for a long time, we enjoy playing soft swap. We didn't care what other people thought. We enjoy playing that way. And, you know, if someone didn't enjoy it or didn't want to play with us, that's fine. We approached it with as just an adventure for us. Okay, what's number two, baby?
Well, avoiding couples who are not on the same page, a.k.a. drama. So those couples are, the drama couples anyway, are a little harder to spot when you're hidden behind a profile on a dating site, but a lot easier to detect when you meet them in person. I once heard a couple, one half of the couple talking shit behind their other partner's back. So that, to me, is run for the hills time. So just avoid drama at all costs and move on. If a couple is not on the same page, it will not end well. And what I mean by that is, if they're not both doing it together, and, you know, one of them thinks that, you know, that's their ticket into this. So swinging cannot fix your relationship. And that is my opinion, period. It might enhance your relationship. It might bring you closer, but it will not fix problems. I've seen it firsthand. It's not pretty.
Yeah, I know. And I think the first person that told us that it was like, it's like a magnifying glass.
Yeah, was a very wise man who's been doing this for a long time. He founded the club up in Seattle, New Horizons, I believe. And
I believe that's the oldest club in the U.S.
It's good. It was just good advice. You know, he compared it to a magnifying glass. If you guys are on the same page, it's all good. But if there's a problem, then this lifestyle can act as a magnifying glass and blow everything out of proportion. So,
mm-hmm. And that is words of advice that he told all the new couples coming into his club.
And I thought, and always stuck with me. And I always thought it was wise advice because that word drama gets used. And like everybody, I kind of at first was like, well, what is it? What is drama? But I think it's just basically when a couple is not on the same page and one of them feels, you know, jealous, or one of them feels like they need to be too pushy
or pressured into it.
Right.
Or, just basically the whole tit for tat thing, or I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we'll go over more of that, but basically I agree. Swinging cannot fix your relationship. And if you're having any kind of problems, work on those before ever stepping out on a date with another couple or to a club. Because, I mean, actually, people can sense that really easily. And you will not have a good time if you're not on the same page and you're having problems with your relationship. I can honestly say that as long as we've been in the lifestyle, the 10 years that all the couples that we have met or run across or run into that have tried to get into the lifestyle or get into swinging to fix something in their marriage, it hasn't ended well at all.
No, the price of admission, I believe, in my opinion, that the price of admission to get into this swinging lifestyle is to have a solid relationship and a great sex life before you begin. If you don't have that, maybe work on that before you take what I guess would maybe be the next step in your adventure. But get that stuff 100% solid so you can avoid drama.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in listening to the guy in Seattle, I always, our approach with this and doing the podcast anyway is I want to stand on the shoulders of giants. Swing's been around for a long, long time, and nobody has to reinvent the wheel. Just be respectful to all swingers, past, present, and future. Now I'll read from a quote. A famous author once said, bonus points if you email me the author. we're like dwarfs on the shoulders of giants, so that we can see more than they, and things at a greater distance, not by virtue of any sharpness of sight on our part, or any physical distinction, but because we are carried high and raised up by their giant size. So, during your travels, you're going to likely meet people older than you and younger than you, more experienced, less experienced. You can really learn something from everyone.
The longer I've been in swinging, having spoken to many swingers from previous generations that are older than ourselves, I don't think there was that much of a difference back then. The difference I see is the way that swingers communicate with each other now. But
you mean with the emails and the internet and all that?
Mm-hmm. That's right. A difference for sure. But I'm talking about the actual activities. You know, people always dog on the earlier swinger generation, saying, "Oh, they were just all into wife swapping and fucking every, you know, anybody, and it was just like that, like." Fucking complete strangers and key swapping and all that kind of stuff. I don't think that was really like that. I do believe that that's how the media saw that it was. But after talking with people, I don't think it was much different than it is now. Of course, times have changed, but I believe that, you know, some people say, oh, they were just all out exchanging keys with random people and fucking, and no one cared. But I think it was a little different. I mean, think about it. If you're meeting people from the back of a magazine,
right, or a wanted ad,
and you're writing a letter, you take the time to do that,
Polaroid
and you send
pictures.
It, and you send it back to someone, and then when you find a couple that's swingers, you know, you become friends with them, and then you meet other swingers. And I think that there was also a community of swingers where everyone knew each other, because there weren't like a lot of the clubs that are here now. It wasn't like that. The people were going over for potlucks and things like that. And I think there was more of a community than a full-on key swapping fuck fest, like
it's portrayed in a lot of films and things.
Yeah, I think it was more respectful than the media led us to believe it was. And I see now how the media portrays swingers today, and so I'm positive that they didn't portray the swingers of the 1970s in the most positive light or the most accurate light.
Sure.
I agree that definitely things have changed with the internet and making swinging more easily accessible to people. That has changed.
And there's more clubs.
More clubs.
Way more.
I don't think people should like think, oh, it's something totally different today, that we're doing something totally different. That, because it's not. It really isn't. It's been around for a long time. And how do you know that people weren't in tight communities and respectful of all involved? And I do think that a lot of that key party stuff was a lot of media.
Right.
Exaggeration. So I feel like when people did meet each other, that they were tight communities.
Well, I think when I wrote, you know, you don't have to reinvent the wheel and that kind of business. What I meant there is, it just seems like on the internet, I hear what swinging is, or I see articles about what swinging is, and then it's a completely different experience than what I see when I actually meet a couple or go to a club. It's just, these are fun people wanting to have recreational sex with their partner. And it's just for fun. And they're not forming, like, they're forming friendships. Like you're saying, maybe was how it was in the past, forming friendships, but none of them are moving in together.
Yeah, but to say it's somehow different today, that now we're more concerned with being friends than the people in the 70s. Like, that's what basically what I'm saying is that I think that they were probably in tighter friendship communities because of limited access to a large number of swingers. You know, they stayed close to people that they met.
Birds of a feather.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and we all know how the media is, basically.
Exactly.
And
which leads me to my next point. You don't have to over-intellectualize swinging.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I think it's a great way to hear about others' experiences by, you know, talking about it and writing about it. But at a certain point, you shouldn't have to feel like you have to model your behavior based on what others do in the lifestyle. It's the first point I made. You know, every couple is unique. There's only your way. As long as you're communicating well and respect your partner and others, you'll fit right in.
Mm-hmm. I also don't think, you know, this is a personal thing of mine. I don't really think that people need swinger mentors or any type thing like that. They should be talking with their partner and making their own path. And because, like you said, every couple is unique and every couple's journey is unique. And
yeah, what do you mean by mentor?
Well, I don't know. I've heard people talking on the internet about how people need a swinger mentor.
Really?
Yeah. That you should find a couple that can mentor you and show you the way to do it.
No.
I don't think that's necessary at all. I think it's actually counterproductive.
But yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want another guy or another girl telling me the way I should be able to, you know, to get into this. It's mm-hmm. got to be me and you.
Yeah, exactly.
Doing that.
It's got to be you, the couple. Because like you said, every couple is unique and their journey will be unique. And it's their journey. It's your journey. And
right.
The most important person on this journey is your partner. And you should always remember that.
Which takes us to point number 6. People should play at the lowest common denominator. When you're on the same page with your partner, you'll understand what you and your partner want to do. And you'll be able to express your desires clearly to another couple. If the couple doesn't want to play at your comfort level, just don't take it personally. Move on. Keep interacting. You'll find a couple who enjoys playing the way you do.
As long as you are down with it with your partner, and one of you isn't trying to rush ahead of the other, you're on the same page. You know, everything's all good. You can you'll be able to explain that to another couple and have your fun. Or if they're not into the way you play, just move on, keep interacting, and you will find a couple who enjoys playing the way you do. I mean, it's that easy. I mean, I think the times that we have encountered mistakes of new couples, it has been kind of like that. They weren't on the same page. One of the partners was trying to move ahead too quickly, overeager, you know,
mm-hmm.
trying to direct situation. Maybe they wanted to full swap, but their partner wasn't ready to. That's basically it. You don't full swap, or you don't go fuck someone while your partner. I mean, some people do that, but in the big picture, it's best if you're on the same page and you don't move faster than your partner. You move, like you said, I don't really like...
No, that's the next topic. It's just, yeah, I mean, that's right. You just never, don't break your rules during play. That's, you know, if you and your partner have discussed doing something, and in the middle of play, it comes up, make sure you discuss it or get a signal from your partner before you're just plowing ahead.
Mm-hmm. That's a good rule to have. You know, don't change your rules in the middle of play. I mean, and it's especially good early on, you know, because you need to build that trust in comfort with your partner in that setting. And the setting can get overwhelming at first when you're seeing all the sex around and everything. But you need that trust to where you can feel comfortable. Like, I needed the trust before I could feel comfortable of completely opening up and enjoying myself in swinging situations. And I knew that you weren't going to, you know, leave me there and go off fucking someone else just because you wanted to have sex or something. And I knew that you were right there with me. We always stayed on the same page. And that's just a good rule of thumb. And have that rule in place that you don't change your rules during play. That will help your partner and you both feel more comfortable in the situation. And it will definitely cut down on the possible drama situations. Because I'm telling you that the only few times that we have seen like full on drama situations occur were when someone broke their rules with their partner during play.
Right.
It's kind of a common sense thing. I mean, early on, it's something definitely you shouldn't do. And I would say
the more experience you have, the more in tune you become to your partner even still. Because then you're able to, you know, have a glance and know what that glance means. Or a nod of the head. Or just a certain look in your... Or the way you smile. So, I mean, the more you know your partner, the more you will evolve in the lifestyle.
And what's your 8th tip for newbies?
Be approachable. This is probably the most important thing of all. Outgoing and smile. Confidence is sexy. I think many new couples, not all, but many have a preconceived notion that swingers are going to jump their bones as soon as they arrive to a party or a club or on that first date. It might happen, but more oftentimes than not, new couples get frustrated. It's why they got little to no attention at a party or a date. But I just think most swingers don't want to jump in bed with a couple that is unsure of themselves, because that's potentially drama. So it's up to you, newbie couple, to get to know people and make them feel comfortable with your newly found sexual appetite.
Yeah, this is your adventure. Hold hands, dance, flirt with each other. And when you're having fun together, chances are others will notice and they will likely be drawn to your energy. And and have fun. Have fun with your partner.
I mean, that's why we got into it, right? I mean, it's to have fun. That's it.
Mm-hmm. We have received emails throughout the years about this thing, you know. We're an attractive couple. We went to a club. No one was talking to us. No one came up and talked to us.
Or I think swingers are clicky.
It might appear that way if you're new and you're walking into a club and you see people talking to each other. But I'm a click buster. I've always been a click buster. And you just go up and just start talking to people. And you'll realize that that's just maybe some people that they knew from before. They're not trying to be cliquish, but
maybe
you don't
it's their
know.
Second. Maybe it's their second time at a party.
Yeah, you don't know unless you go up and start talking to people and moving around and be approachable. Just have fun with your partner and
be yourself.
Yes, I believe I read on the Swingers Board a series that Julie, the owner of the Swingers Board, wrote about how not to be a wallflower at a club. She wrote it in 5 parts. And it's very, very excellent advice. And with some detailed tips for the newbie on how not to be a wallflower. So you should check that out on swingersboard.com.
And that applies to just a date, too, if that's what you're doing. If you're not going to a club, I mean, you've got to... Confidence is sexy, you know. You gotta put it out there. Talk.
And I think that this will lead us into your next point.
Try to have no expectations other than having fun with your partner.
Yeah. If you don't have the expectations of, okay, I'm gonna meet someone and we're gonna swap and fuck. Tonight is the night. If you have that out of your mind, the nerves will kind of go away.
If you take it with the approach that you're just gonna have a let's just see what the night brings kind of attitude, I think things are more likely to happen.
Oh yeah.
And if you have, but if you have an agenda or you got a checklist or a bedpost that needs marking, you're probably going to get frustrated.
Yeah. And other people will detect that and they will avoid you because yet again,
yeah,
it's just, that is a drama situation.
Just chillax.
Ready to happen.
Chillax.
And just have fun. It's just sex. It's supposed to be fun. Don't stress out about it. Just have fun with your partner. I mean, it's just if you're, you know, and then if you're having fun with your partner, I can tell you how many times we go and we're just having fun with our together.
Mm-hmm.
We're out dancing, we're out having fun. And then people do, they do notice and they do come up and they'll say, I saw you
dancing.
You guys seem really in love. And then they come up and talk to us. And then a lot of times that does end up in play, or
right.
Or we run into them up in the playroom and someone says, wow, we saw you guys having fun out there on the dance floor. And, you know,
do you guys want us to make room over here on the bed for you? Well, okay. You know?
Yeah, it's easy. But if you sit in the corner and just like stress out of, you know,
but it's intimidating. I mean, it's scary when you first, you know, it's, I remember the first time we went to a club, I'm looking at you, I'm thinking, okay, are we really going to do this? Is this, mm-hmm. Are we really going to do this?
But we're talking about expectations.
No, I know, but I mean, I'm saying, yeah, I know. And I think it's the last thing I wrote is it's not a race. It's more like a jog in the park with your partner and new friends. You, Mr. Newbie, you might have the legs to speed way ahead of them, but where's the fun in that?
Yeah, that whole let's see what the night brings attitude, that's done us.
That's our ticket to orgasm right there.
Yeah, it's funny because all the times where I'm like,
oh, I know.
I don't want to go. I don't feel like going out tonight. And I was like, okay, let's go. And I get in the shower and I get all ready and I go to the club, not really feeling like it's going to be a good night.
Those are the best nights.
Those are the best nights. Yeah. Because, I mean, expectations are way.
Way low.
Way low.
Right.
My expectations are so low. And then, absolutely, those have been the best nights. Yeah. So whenever I say, I don't feel like going out, really, you get all excited because you know we're going to have a good time.
Well, it's just like, you don't say, I don't feel like going out tonight at all. You're just like,
you're forcing me, but I'm just okay, yeah, we can go out or not.
Let's go, but I don't really feel like really playing, really. I'm just not feeling very sexy right now. I'm like, okay, good, yeah, this is going to be a great night.
So it's really, we've said this from the beginning of our podcast about the have no expectations other than having fun with your partner. That's a lot easier said than done, but it's definitely a good thing to strive for. I mean,
when we go out, really, the only expectation I have is I'm going to get laid tonight by my wife, and whether it's at the club or when we get back. But I'm pretty sure we're gonna have a sexy time, and you know, it's gonna be fun. So everything else is just icing on the cake. Mm-hmm. I would say over the years, three of the top questions that we have been asked the most in email and in person are, number one, body image. Am I too skinny, too fat, too old, too young to join the lifestyle? Number two, STDs. Aren't you naughty people worried about getting something nasty down there. Number three, how do I bring this subject up to my partner?
Mm-hmm. Let's start with that one.
Bringing it up?
Yeah. How do you talk to your partner about swinging?
Well, for us, it was kind of just a natural progression because we were fortunate in that we've always had a great sex life and we do naughty things together from day one.
Mm-hmm. And we always openly
have sex in wild places, watch videos, make videos, photo shoots, talk naughty in bed, and that kind of fun
buying
stuff.
Buying sex toys and things like that. We've always done that since our early part of our relationship, so we had no problem talking openly about sexy stuff and fantasies. So it was pretty easy for us, but I was the one that took the leap and arranged that threesome.
Sure.
So, and I found out doing the podcast, having and meeting a lot more swingers, that was one thing I was surprised about. You think that, well, at least I thought that all the emails would be guys asking about how to convince their wife how to swing. But I had lots of women also writing.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. And I've met lots of women that actually were the ones that got their husbands into swinging. So that was a bit surprising to me, but not anymore. Even though I was the one that got us to have that first threesome, even that, I mean, it could have easily been you as well. I mean, it wasn't.
Yeah. But I mean, what would you say to someone though, who they think, well, man, I love my partner. We have a solid relationship. We're good. But I just know she would never, you know, entertain swinging. But I really wish they would, because I want to do it, or I want to at least try it. I wish she would try it. I think we could at least have some fun.
Mm-hmm.
What would your advice be to that person who just a little unsure about how to bring it up with their partner?
Well, that's most of the emails. I always say don't pressure them. Just ease into it with your fantasy talk and don't be surprised if, you know, I think it's good maybe with women to just maybe bring up one thing, one little thing, maybe when you're having sex, and let that sink in, and you'll be surprised maybe 3 days, maybe 2 weeks after the woman has had time to kind of like percolate in their mind about it, process it. You'll be surprised. She might come back and, you know that thing you said the other day? I've been thinking about it. And you might be surprised. That's the way I am, too. Like, if you say something, I've had to cool you off on the fantasy talk sometimes. You know, okay, stop. let me think about that for a while. You don't want to overload your partner all at once. You want to have the trust there. You want to maintain the trust. And you know your partner best. It's really hard for me to tell someone else how to talk to their partner that they've been with for 15 years,
you know, right?
How to introduce it. But all I can say is it takes a lot of communication. It's not impossible if you don't have it already, but you need to at least be able to watch porn together, talk openly about sex and your fantasies real comfortably with your partner prior to getting into swinging. Wouldn't you say so, John?
Mm-hmm. And I think at that point, you know, you can decide, okay, well, are we going to get on a dating site? Are we going to go to a club?
Yeah.
How are we going to meet?
How do you meet others?
Yeah.
Well, once you introduce it, maybe you've had that, you've talked about it in fantasies, and your partner comes back and's like, yeah, I want to do this. And you talk more about it, and you start thinking, wow, we might turn some of this into reality. I think the first thing to do is set up a profile together. And that in itself will help you talk more about it, about what you want to do, and what's comfortable with your partner, what you're comfortable with doing, what you're comfortable not doing, because you'll be forced to fill out like what you're into. You know, are you
soft swap, full swap, anal play, girl, girl play, whatever you're into. And you can have those discussions. But the key thing that I want people to listen to is what Allie said, do it together.
Do it together. Yeah, it's a good thing to do it together like that, because
there are a lot of profiles, I feel like, that they were put together by guys and the girl hadn't, you know, you'll see like 1,800 pictures of the girl or something and there's none of the guy, you know. And I don't know. It's just, if you want to have some success in this, you need to be on the same page and you need to be doing it together.
Yeah, and I think setting up that profile, whether you do the dating or not, is a good thing to do when you're just testing the waters to see if you want to get into swinging. And because, like I said, it forces you to sit down and discuss what turns you on and what you want to do. And yeah, do it together. I mean, this whole thing is a we activity.
Team sport.
It's a team sport. but yeah, it's something you do together, and definitely set up your profile together. It's exciting and fun and naughty.
You'll see when you join sites like Cassidy, SLS,
Lifestyle Lounge,
all these different ones
SDC.
That are out, sure, that you'll see that it's a cross section of the general public, that swingers come in all shapes and sizes. So
The number one recommendation I would say is to get out to a club right away. And I was reading the swingers board the other day at an older post, and it was asking swingers what their biggest mistake
or regret
when they were new. And I would say a majority of the people said one of their biggest regrets was not going to a club sooner. It definitely speeds up meeting others. And I think it's a good way for a new couple, whether you like the club scene or not. But a club, you can meet all kinds of swingers, get comfortable with the whole scene. I mean, mingle and let people know if it's your first time. There's nothing to be ashamed of about that. I remember our first time, I didn't want to let people know at first that it was my first time. You don't have to be that way. You can just tell people, and everybody's been in your shoes.
For sure.
For sure. And people are helpful. And whatever boundaries and whatever you and your partner decide on, that's what's comfortable for you, be sure to share that with other people and be clear. Just as much as you communicate with your partner, all the communication you do with your partner, you need to also communicate with the other couples and be clear about what you're comfortable with. Because it is overwhelming at times. Lots of stuff going on. And I think a club is the best way for a new couple to get the big picture. I mean, you could be sitting on a site back and forth trying to find that perfect dating match. And you could be doing that for 6 months. And you could have one that you drive 2 hours to meet and it not be a positive experience. And then that could leave a bad taste in your partner's mouth. We're, I don't know. They're not, you know what I'm saying?
No,
I
mean, exactly.
Whereas a club, it's pressure free, I believe, because just like we've been to lots of clubs all over the country, and they're all different.
Sure.
But what's similar, the same as all, is the respect. And they have their rules. No means no is a rule at every club that we've been to. And that includes sex clubs that we've been to. Not swinger clubs, but clubs that I would call sex clubs.
You know, the thing is like you said, I mean, you could be 6 months a year and never meet a couple and play that game. But if, you know, you want to be a swinger, or you want to see what the lifestyle is all about, you got to go where the swingers are.
Yeah.
You know, plus if you meet a couple and you're out and you don't click, you're stuck there until you can excuse yourself politely and get out of the situation. Whereas at a club, if you meet somebody at a club and you don't click, it's no harm, no foul. There's plenty of fish in the sea.
Mm-hmm. And I read on that same thread about the mistakes or regrets. One person wrote that was pretty funny. He wrote, go for drinks instead of dinner. It could be the longest 2 hours you've ever spent.
Right. Right.
And that was one of the things. So like you said, a club, like even if you meet someone on one of the dating sites, have them meet you at the club. I know that in like 5 minutes of talking with someone at a club is worth like, what, 3 months of back and forth emails?
Yeah, you can learn so much about somebody in person, more than you can. And the thing too, I think a lot of couples are intimidated maybe by clubs because they think, oh, there's just a lot of anonymous sex going on, and that's not really my thing. I want to get to know people first. Well, like I said, there's lots of ways you can meet people at clubs. You don't have to play with anybody while you're there. You might meet other like-minded people who think like you that you can meet outside of the club, but you've kind of pre-screened them now, and you know that you're interested, and it's mutual, and so off you go to your happy swinger bliss.
And people will say, oh, well, we don't have a club in our area. Go to an area where there are clubs. Seriously, take a weekend getaway somewhere. There's clubs all over the place. And there's some really good clubs. And it's great. I mean, take a whole weekend getaway.
Go for a couple of nights. Or go to find a city where there's a couple of clubs and try, mm-hmm. try them both out. Or
also, if your area doesn't have any clubs, go to resorts. Like Desire.
Like Desire.
You can come with us. Come with us. When are we going, John?
May 31st. We leave May 31st for 7 nights of sinful fun.
Meet and greets. Some larger cities have meet and greets. You can find all this on swinger communities or dating sites, or whatever you want to call them. That's what I love about these online swinger communities, because there is so much to do.
Yeah.
And you can find out lots of stuff that's going on in your area and all over the country. And you could easily take a little weekend trip somewhere.
Now, we have a couple who's coming with us to Naughty and Nolans, and it's going to be their first trip. They've never, I think they're just dipping their toes into the lifestyle, and they've decided mm-hmm. to come with us to Naughty and Nolans. And mm-hmm. she actually wrote some questions also, so I want us to kind of address those too. And one of them is about the STDs, so I'm going to read that now. Or, you know what, since it's written by women, maybe you should read it, baby.
Okay. She says, while it's no fun to talk about STDs, actually we're not so worried about serious ones that can be treated with antibiotics, but more so that are of the nagging, persistent, you can't get rid of them type. We know condoms are a rule of the road for fucking intercourse, but what do people active in the lifestyle generally do when it comes, for example, to blowjobs? We'd really like to avoid HPV herpes-type infections. While at this point we're girl-girl only and have only connected with one couple to date, when we think of progressing, we could easily see oral being a very comfortable play type. But it seems like condoms would be awkward on a blowjob. What is the general accepted practice in this area? And of the topic of STDs in general? When we read up on this, we see advice that even for girl-girl, you use protection like dental dams. But sorry, I am not going to carry a roll of saran wrap with me when I go down on a lady. Okay.
Well.
Well, okay.
So it's important I stick a disclaimer in here, I think. We're not doctors. We're not sex educators. We're not even researchers, but we're just a couple, and we've done our own research, mostly of which Allie did, because she loves to do that kind of thing.
Yeah, oh yeah. I've got a hobby of researching medical. I read the medical journals, and I even research who wrote the medical journals.
But that doesn't matter because...
I'm obsessive, but you need to do your own research.
Yes.
That's the main point, and you do this together... As a couple,
we can only tell you what we observe and what we do.
Mm-hmm.
What you do is up to you. But
exactly,
in clubs and resorts, and even out at other meet and greets and spillover parties, we've seen condoms most of the time be used a strong majority of the time for vaginal intercourse, and very rarely for blowjobs, and never for the dental dams or a saran wrap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Personally, we always play with condoms, polyurethane, if you must know. Allie has a latex allergy, so for vaginal intercourse, we always use condoms, and we do not use, personally, a dental dam or condoms for blowjobs.
Mm-hmm. We've weighed out our risk-benefit analysis on the whole thing. That's what's comfortable for us. As long as we have been swinging in 10 years, no one has ever asked us to have sex without a condom. I don't know. I mean, maybe like once or twice has someone had a condom on for a blowjob.
But you didn't put it on. 10 years.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah. Maybe just once. I can't even think of anything. I mean, there are people, obviously, that use the dental dams and such.
There's a whole market for it, apparently.
Apparently, but...
It's not in the swingers, I don't
You
think.
Don't really see that out in swinger world at all. So, what I'm saying is, if you come to that decision that you will want to use a dental dam or condom for oral, and you're out anywhere amongst... a lot of swingers, you're going to have to do some talking and explaining.
Because it's not going to be expected. It's going to be a little surprising. It would surprise. It would definitely surprise me if that came up in the middle of play.
And just the same is if you expect to have intercourse without a condom, you're definitely going to be out of the norm. There at a
and have that large conversation
event.
Beforehand.
You'll have to have that conversation somehow. So it's not impossible. I know there are people out there that do not use condoms for intercourse, and I know that there are people that use dental dams and condoms for oral sex.
But we don't see them. We just hear about them on the internet.
We've heard about them on the internet, but we've never seen it. What would you do, John? If someone asked you to put a condom on for oral sex?
I'm a horn dog. I would do it. But I would let her know that she's got her work cut out for her, because that's going to be really difficult for me to get off. But I'm game. I would try it. I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If a girl... What would you do if a guy or a girl asked to use a dental dam on you?
I would say finger me instead. Totally. I couldn't do it. It would not... it would not be a turn on for me. It would... Actually, I would probably burst out in laughter uncontrollably.
Watching somebody licking lube off a piece of plastic wouldn't do it for you?
No. No. I would just... They could be the best proclaimed pussy licker anywhere. Yeah. It wouldn't do it. And if I looked over and saw you going down on a woman with a dental dam, I would just... And licking some lube off of it. I would just... I would
try to finger a girl. If she asked me to do that, I'm like, let me use my hands. You know, I'll kiss your neck or your breasts or, you know, and get you off like that. Because what, you got to hold that saran wrap.
Yeah.
In between a woman's legs. Now I got.
You can't use your hands.
I can't use my hands. I can't touch her breasts. I can't touch her ass. I can't touch her legs. I gotta just keep my hands there over her pussy while I lick a piece of plastic. No, I would much rather use my hands. But then maybe she might ask me to use a glove. I don't know. Then what do I do?
Would you use a glove? Why would she have you use a glove?
I don't know. We're using saran wrap. Maybe we're gonna bring out tin foil next. I have no idea. Are we fucking or are we baking a cake?
I really think, and when I was doing this research for myself, I've been in phases. Like early on when we first were starting out, I researched, and then a little bit later, I researched more when I was thinking about swallowing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really when I did some intensive research. But basically I'm saying we came up with what works for us. And I've never felt safer. I think that swinging the people that we play with...
Take good care of themselves.
Yeah. I mean, they take good care of themselves. And I think that even more so, I was more worried probably in more of a... STD risk back in college. I feel safer in the swinging world.
When you're talking about STDs. For the most part, couples that have been together and committed to each other for years and years.
Right. That are very much in tune with what's down there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I know that if I ever had something odd down there that you would be able to tell me. I mean, we're always down there. We're shaving, we're waxing, we're licking. And that's what you got. Also, you can't just take someone's word for, yes, we've been STD tested, and that's okay. You just kind of have to assume that you have to take it on yourself.
It is a risk.
To use precautions. But... there's others besides condoms. Your eyes. You can look and see things that aren't right.
But still, this is a decision people have to make for themselves. STDs can be unseen by the naked eye. So, I mean, it's a risk, you know. Getting in a car is a risk. Mm-hmm. It's a risk that we have decided to take, and that's what we do. And we don't judge others who play differently mm-hmm. or have come to different conclusions, but that's just how we roll.
And you'll find other people that have your same, like, I'm certain people that only play with dental dams and condoms for oral sex, they can find other people
sure.
that play the same way. But
I think what we're trying to stress is that the norm of what we, of the lifestyle, you know, if we put our finger on the pulse of the community at this point in time, sex for intercourse, condoms, sex for,
oral sex,
for the most part, the large majority, no protection. And if you're going to cut a condom in half and try to stick it on Allie's pussy and lick lube off of it.
Well, first off,
you got some splaining to do.
Yeah, it's not something if you do want to use dental dams. It's not something that you pull out in the midst of a group play situation. You need to just definitely discuss that with your partners ahead of time, and prepare them for it, because it's not customary, basically. Right. But I mean, you know, I think that people would, there are people that would, hey, sure, I'll try it.
Sure.
You know, people aren't going to be so rude about it. And
they're not going to point and laugh at you.
I'm not going to be rude about it either when I tell you finger me instead. I mean, I'll make that sound sexy, but definitely you won't be licking lube off of, definitely not a latex
right.
dental dam on me. But as far as condoms go, this is something that we encountered. Not really at the beginning of our swinging, because we were soft swap for so long. But when we did start wearing condoms for intercourse, if you're not used to that, if you're like have been married for like 10 or 15 years and you've been only sleeping with your partner, you probably haven't been wearing condoms. So you're not used to that. So you might want to like practice with condoms, because I mean, condoms themselves can really
it sets a man off. turns a man on, and it sets a man off.
Thank you. Yeah. So I think also, you know, that could be some of your play. You could put on a condom in your fantasy talk and fuck your partner, say you're somebody else, and then at the same time get used to coming with a
fucking somebody else fucking with a condom.
With a condom, yeah. Because that does take some getting used to.
And I think also, this is what I thought you were going to say, but we had no idea that you had a latex thing until you started playing with other guys, you know, with condoms on. And we were like, what the fuck?
What's going on? Is it the lube? Is it the condoms? Is it what? Is it?
Right. And more research ensued.
More research. And I finally found one condom. We went through a lot. I stick with one lube, and I don't think I'm officially have a latex allergy. I think it's narrowed down to the additives that they put in the latex condoms.
Mm-hmm. But still, we use a polyurethane condom now.
Right. And also, that's another thing you got to do. You know, you got to go out before you go, and when you're getting ready with your partner, go out, go shopping, buying condoms, get your little play bag together, because you really need to take charge of the protection. Everybody, you know, even if a club has supplies condoms, or you need to, you know, I know we carry condoms even when we were soft swap.
We did.
In case someone asked you to wear a condom right. doing oral.
Right.
No one ever did.
Nope. But I was a Boy Scout.
You were prepared. Yes. Yeah, just do your own research and be comfortable with what you decide is right for you and your partner. So prior to going to a club or a meet and greet or resort, such as body image questions, am I too fat?
Too skinny.
Is my scar going to be a turnoff? My dick's too small.
My dick's too big. Don't hear that one a lot.
I don't. I never got that one. I don't think we ever got that question. So, yeah, body image is a common question for new swingers.
The only thing I can say about it is confidence is sexy.
confidence is sexy. And I will add that there are all types of swingers, all sizes, shapes, colors, ages. You will find someone.
Sure.
And I would say just wear your sexiest thing. Make yourself feel confident.
Thing about the body image, you know, is that, like I said, it's a confidence. It's a confidence level, and you can be butt ugly.
Well, can I ask you?
But
something?
if you're having a good time and you're the life of the party, I mean, people want to be around that. I'd rather be with a girl who is out there having a blast instead of the hotter one who's over in the corner, stuck up or too scared to get out there. You know,
right. But you're not answering their body question. How do you tell someone? You're just telling them to be confident.
Right.
And that confidence is sexy.
That's
but
right.
If they write to you and say, my partner is not confident with his body being naked, how do you answer that?
That partner has to help their partner get over that. It's a team sport. Like, if you didn't feel sexy one night and you didn't feel like you were having a bad body image day or something.
I have those. I
sure.
had one this weekend. I was like, I'm not going out. I don't feel sexy.
So, I mean, so sometimes we don't go out. But if it was like that every weekend, you know, I'd do things to help you make you feel sexy.
But what I'm saying,
even a whore gets a new dress once in a while.
Where is that from?
Some old cartoon. I don't even know anymore. But, I mean, help your partner.
Yeah, and I think what I was going to say, once we got out to a club for the first time and saw all the variety of people there, and we were both like 40 and 50 pounds heavier than we are now, I felt confident in my body when I was there, just seeing everybody else. And it's just such a sexy vibe. Like I said, I was 40 pounds heavier and I felt confident.
Well, it helps because swingers are so damn, you could say they're either really friendly and welcoming or deep down they're just really horny. But either way, they're very complimentary. And everyone's usually at a club anyway, or even a party or a meet and greet. Hey, you look hot. Oh my God, you know.
It's a confidence booster, sure, just to being around these people. I really think so. And you know what? I think imperfections are sexy, and we all have them. Like scars, for instance, or like battles that we've won. I mean, I think they're sexy because they always have a cool story to them. And they're like battles that the person has won.
Sure. Grooming. Manscaping. Waxing. Shaving. Trimming. Cutting. Pulling. Plucking. Lasering.
Scary stuff.
All that jazz. Well, on this topic of grooming, you could do a whole podcast on it. In fact, we have done several, I think. But
oh yeah, we did the one of my first waxing.
Sure.
Yeah. And where I took the recorder and actually recorded the first time I got a Brazilian wax. That was quite
yow.
Yow, for me that first time.
Since then, I've been waxed several times.
I know. I was listening back to that episode, and that was from 2007. And on it, I was talking about how I could never see you going in for a Brazilian. Less than a year later, you were in there for Brazilians.
I didn't get a Brazilian. I got a baseball wax. I got the bat, the balls, and the dugout.
Yeah, that's a Brazilian.
Yeah, that is, I guess, but...
But you didn't start out there at first.
No. No.
You did the waxing, but you didn't get your balls waxed at first.
Well, yeah, at first I just trimmed with scissors and a razor blade, but yeah. Now I have...
No, but I mean, the first time you went for waxing.
Uh-huh.
You did not get your whole, your balls waxed.
No, I didn't, but I've done it all now.
Yeah, you've done it all now. And it's been, we've had our mishaps with it.
Sure.
Like that time you come home with a thing of wax and tell me to...
Wax me, baby.
Wax me, baby.
You can do it.
You can do it. And you heated it up and brought it out to me. And it was right before we went on a trip to Swing Fest.
Mm-hmm.
Without even telling me, you heated it up and you brought it out to me and said, wax me, baby. We don't need an appointment. You can just wax me here.
You've done this enough. You've seen it done enough. You'll know how to do it. It's easy.
I was like, I'm not sure about this, John. Yeah, you can do it. Do it. Just do it. And then I put it on you, and I tried to rip it off.
And the first rip you got, good. It was good. I thought it was going swimmingly well.
And then the second one, I guess it wasn't.
The wax had cooled down.
Yeah. It would not come up. It would not. I could not get it to pull off. And you even went into the shower.
That was a mistake.
And then you,
I read later.
And then I could hear you from outside, like screaming in utter pain and torture. And I was trying to keep the kids away so they wouldn't have to explain what was going on with you. I was panicked. It was very painful. And then you had to go to Swing Fest with this horrible. What was it?
A bruised ball.
Bruised crotch area. And it looked like I'd given him like this enormous hickey just
on the inside of my thigh.
Oh, it was bad. It was so bad.
Yeah.
So yeah, lessons, let the professionals do that. Do the waxing. And
since then I've shaved my balls. I've waxed my balls with professionals doing it.
And my help.
And your help. And also had them sugared.
And
that kind of sounds good. My balls were sugared. You'll have to Google that one.
I think that's a lot less painful, actually.
Yeah, it is.
And if you can find someone that can sugar, that's a good thing.
The good thing about the waxing is that it lasts a long time. You're hair free down there for, at least a week for me anyway.
Yeah. After that first waxing that was so painful.
For
me, the next one wasn't near as painful. And now it's like nothing.
Routine.
It's nothing to me. But I don't get it all the time. I only go for the Brazilian when we're going to go on a trip, or if there's going to be at least 2 or 3 days of swinging. That way I don't have to worry about shaving. But normally I just shave. And that was an advice on that, shaving for the ladies. I would say, and this was some advice that Danny gave early on in our podcast, women, shave your inner lips as well. Don't leave the hair there if you're going to shave. And get it smooth as you can.
Absolutely. Get as smooth as you can. That's key. I've gone down on, my fair share of women. And for the most part, they've all been very smooth down there. But occasionally, a girl will have not shaved the top of her pubic area. Like some girls like to shave it all off or leave like a small little landing strip. And sometimes there's stubble there that is not sexy on my lip.
Oh, it gives you like a red mustache.
Yeah.
Rash. Yeah. I guess the point with shaving, if you're going to shave, make sure you
go all in.
Go all out with it and get it smooth. Don't leave stubble. I've got like a triangle at the top, but I'm smooth around my lips.
Right.
And that's what I'm comfortable with. I've got a tiny cesarean scar, so I like having my hair at the top. It makes me feel more confident and comfortable. And also, well, anyway, that's why I keep
plus I like
triangle,
it.
And you like it. And I read somewhere that, you know, women, that's where the pheromones.
Mm.
Yeah. Another reason for me keeping my triangle at the top early on was when my daughter was little and going through puberty. I didn't want her to see me with no hair and her be getting hair and not wonder and feel shame about the hair that she was getting. So, but that's...
You're sharing a lot.
I am sharing a lot. But, I mean, there's decisions, but the general thing is most women are hair-free down there. And most men are at least trimmed, if not hair-free. And I know you, John, you like to wax your dick now because of...
I've done it a handful of times. For the majority of the times when we go out, I shave.
Right. But you shave exactly where they wax.
Yeah, I shave my balls.
And why do you?
Because I have a theory that the shaved areas get more attention, and I want attention there.
Yeah. Yeah, and also...
Optical inch.
It does give that optical
inch. The appearance that I'm larger. I'm fooling all you ladies by shaving.
Oh, yeah.
I like them all. Shaved, trimmed, full bush.
But there's a lot of grooming, and it's kind of fun, actually. I like it. I've shared this before. Like, I get turned on in the shower when I'm shaving because I know what's in store. My pussy gets wet, even wetter, when I'm shaving, thinking about it. So there's kind of like a turn on about the whole grooming thing.
I think it's our ritual.
A ritual.
our getting ready.
And it's also a good time to relax and get into the mood. Forget about the day-to-day stuff and get your mind in a sexy mood. So you might want to shave together with your partner.
Just be careful.
Just be careful. Leave the waxing to the professionals.
Exactly.
Leave the waxing to the professionals. What if I run into someone I know? They're there for the same reason you are. Just remember that. And if you do happen to it, I would think the best thing to do is just go up and approach them.
Break the ice right away.
Yeah.
Hey, you're here too. Fancy meeting you here.
Yeah.
You don't say anything to anybody, and neither will I. That kind of deal.
Mm-hmm. Because, yeah. That's only happened to us once.
Right.
Yeah.
And in talking about all this stuff with you guys, I mean, we know it's a lot of this is kind of, you know, the basics, and that's why we're doing it. So we'll have that again. So we'll have a podcast where we can point to for people that are getting into the lifestyle. But just overall wanted to kind of paint a picture of what the lifestyle is in general for the things that we have seen. You know, again, condoms being used for intercourse and not for oral. When you go to... clubs, you know, there is though crossover from other communities. Probably the biggest one is the kink community or BDSM, because some clubs even have full areas devoted for that type of play.
But even though there is a crossover, the majority of the swingers may not be into BDSM.
The majority of swingers, when they're playing in a group area, are not participating in that kind of behavior, and you don't see it going on in a group area.
Right. And that's just out of respect for the majority of the couples.
Because you don't know. You haven't talked to them beforehand. You don't know if they would be into that or offended by it or turned off by it.
They might misinterpret it, not being used to it, or not. They might think you're abusing someone or.
Right. Yeah. Maybe there's a lot of reasons. Partner.
Yeah. It just.
That's why there's a separate area for it. I mean.
Right.
That's where that. That's
same with in the general etiquette of when large groups of swingers are together and playing in group areas. You won't. You will see a lot of female bisexuality, but you won't see any male bisexuality in the group areas. And that is similar to the kink thing, just out of respect for the majority of the group.
Right.
That happens in private areas. That's hard for people to accept. Some people looking outside, I think, into swinging, and they're looking in from the outside. It's hard, but I don't think it's really that big of a deal for people in the lifestyle because... They have way, if you're bisexual, if your male is bisexual, there's ways of meeting other bisexual males and bisexual couples. I mean, I know a club near us, they have a bisexual monthly party where it's all only bisexuals.
Well, I mean, this issue of male bisexuality, it's a very controversial issue on the internet.
Yeah, that's what I said. In real life, it's not a big deal.
And when we go out, it's not really discussed.
But in all the dating sites and all, you know, you can be a part of a bisexual group. And
the important thing I think is if you're a guy or you are the guy that half of a couple who is interested in exploring that bisexuality, you need to. Again, communicate that with the other couples who may be involved in playing with you during the night to let them know that that's something that excites you.
You need to communicate, but you also need to do it in a private area, not in a major group area. Out of respect for the majority of the group. That's all. And don't be afraid to put bisexual on your profile. I mean, if that's what you want... You'll find it. Just, you know, be honest and communicate about it. And, you know.
And be prepared that if you're going to go to clubs, parties, events, you're more or less in the general swinging population and you need to go with the flow. Go with the group.
Norms, I guess.
Sure.
Just like in any other group, any group, you know, there's...
Unless you're at a group that's specifically, it's bi night or whatever. And then I guess there's no holes barred. So.
Yeah. A lot of people are concerned about communication. How do we communicate whether we like the partner while we're meeting them? Maybe at dinner or at a club or.
Oh, like having a signal?
Yeah, I think signals are good.
Yes.
But keep them simple and keep them to where they're not recognizable to the other couple. Like, I read a good one, someone will drink a beer if they're not interested, will order a beer to let their partner know they're not interested. I thought that
That's
was
a good one.
Pretty good one. But you just don't want to get, like, very complicated with them. Just keep them simple. But, you know, you do need, especially in the beginning, to have some signals.
If I order a dessert and it's chocolate and I only take 2 bites and then I immediately put my napkin on my lap, that means I need to go to the bathroom or whatever. You know, that means I'm into this couple. You know, you don't want something crazy like that or, like, crazy sign language. But a simple signal is good. You don't have to come up with your own.
Like right now, like I don't feel like... Well, we have signals. We have the hair thing.
Allie will put her hair up into...
I just did that not too long ago.
On a recent podcast, she shared that she puts her hair up and if she's ready to play.
But that was one that we didn't talk about prior. I just hoped that you would get the hint.
And well, why did. Is Allie putting her hair up? I guess she's getting ready to give somebody a blowjob. There's two people.
Because most of the time at clubs, we're just like, we can pretty much tell if you
by
can
look.
Tell. Yeah.
I'll look in your eye.
A look in my eye or.
It's a happy look or a distressed look or whatever. And I know it's either on or off.
Yeah.
Most of the time with Allie, it's on. So those are easier to decipher.
I know everyone, when they're getting ready on a new adventure together, everyone, just like how everyone is different when they're like going on a trip together with their planning. Some people like to plan it out and very detailed. Some people just grab their stuff and go, you know? Everyone's going to be different in the way they approach and discuss the swinging. I just hope we haven't scared anyone off about going into swinging.
The only people I hope that we may have scared off are people that are not on the same page together, because I definitely don't want them at our resorts or our clubs or our parties.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they're not on the same page, if they're not a loving, committed couple and doing this to have fun together...
Mm-hmm.
If they're doing it to try to fix something, or if they're doing it to some kind of like legalized cheating or some kind of craziness like that, I don't know, but I just don't want, I don't want those people at our clubs or parties.
Right.
I want fun people.
Exactly. And happy relationships.
Right.
Because that's sexy. It's sexy and fun to be around other couples that are in love and have good relationships. They're just out for fun.
And you too can be around some of those fun people if you'll come to us with our group of fun friends to Desire in Cancun, May 31st. You guys need to book, though, before it does fill up, and it will. May 31st through June 6th. Details are on our website at swingercast.com.
And we're also going to Naughty in New Orleans.
Oh, yeah.
In August 6th through the 10th in 2014. And those details
are also on the site.
And there's an episode of our experiences there at Naughty in New Orleans. We hope that you guys will join us. It's a great way for new swingers and seasoned swingers, I guess.
To come together.
To come together. And even if you get to the point of you're not even think you're ready to jump into swinging, just the fact that you communicate and are talking fantasies is it's a good thing. Anyway, what is that you said to me the other day? Something about jumping in the pool.
Oh, you can either wade in, put your feet in, or you can jump in. Just be prepared for the waves.
Be prepared for the waves. And yeah, they're waves. And that's what's cool about it, being with your partner and being together. Because, you know, I know if I get tired or if I need to take a breath, you're there, you know? And we're jumping in together. And we're playing in the waves together. And it's not scary. It's not so scary. It's fun. It's exhilarating. Hope you always remember that your partner is the most important person in the room. And always have fun. Yes. And if it's not fun, stop it. Don't do it. If one of the partners doesn't want to do it any longer, I mean, I know I would jump out in a second if you said, I'm not into this anymore.
Yeah.
I would say, okay, fine.
For sure.
Or if we need to take a break, that's fine. Swinging is a we thing, not a me thing. Doing this together with your partner and you're all on the same page and there's the trust and the communication, as big as the waves will get in that pool, you're going to still have fun. Because you're together. And it's the ones that say they wouldn't get out. I don't think they're cut out for swinging. I think maybe they are maybe they would be happier in like a poly or open relationship type thing, because, you know, swinging is a wee thing. It's just a recreation. It's just sex. It's just fun. And if it's not right for everyone, and that's okay. I mean, that's no big deal. Your relationship is the most important part. And if one of you is not into it, you've got to just accept that and be okay with that and truly be okay with it and not pressure. Go at your own pace and what you as a couple wants to do, because it's your journey.
And we hope your journey leads you to desire.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
Details at swingercast.com. We certainly hope you're able to join us on one or both of those trips, because we're going to have a blast.
Mm-hmm.
And as always, thanks for listening. If you have anything to add or would have any other questions, contact us at swingercast.com, John or Allie. So good night, everybody. Good afternoon. Good morning. Buenos dias. Buenas noches.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be back really soon, because we've already recorded our New Year's Eve.
That's right. Happy New Year's, everybody.
Yeah. So next time you hear us, we'll do our New Year's Eve.
We'll try to get it to you before Easter.
Yeah, we've already recorded it, so it should be soon.
All right, you guys. Again, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate all of your support.
Oh, and we're excited of the sign-ups we've already gotten for Desire and Naughty in New Orleans. So we have some other podcasters that are joining us at Desire, we found out this week. I'm super excited to meet those guys and party with those guys, Los Swingers, at losswingers.com. Check out their podcast.
I had this whole Spanish podcasting thing completely monopolized for all these years.
What are you talking about?
Until Mr. Swamp Fu and this Los Swingers couple comes around. So now...
What do you mean?
Desafortunadamente, no soy el único la única persona que habla español sobre swinging. No. They seem like a fun, hot couple, and we're so glad that they're going to be able to come with us. I'll feel safer now in Mexico. We'll have a couple of those swingers with us. All right. Thanks again for listening. Que le vaya bien. Muchísimas gracias y nos vemos pronto. Adiós.
Mwah.